Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
He just dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
It's Optional. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you were good. Getting ready for the weekend, the craziness that will be installed in Lexington, Kentucky tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on ESPN. So glad to be back with you guys. Hope everybody's well. Hope everybody is just getting ready. Just getting ready for a fun weekend of doing whatever you do. And then you'll be glued to your television Saturday night, 8 o'clock. College game day. Don't forget. Now look. College game day will be at Kentucky tomorrow, starting at 10. Just be prepared. You know what college game day is. It's just straight up, let's just sugarcoat the home team. So look forward to that. It's going to be fun. I think it'll be a fun weekend. We got NASCAR. We got Daytona this weekend on Sunday. Bubba Doo did good last night. Finished six. Made a move at the end. I was proud of him. So he will start 13th. He qualified 30th because he just had a bad car. But now he will start 13th on Sunday. So good for him. So that'll be Saturday. Me and Bear were going back and forth last night. That was interesting on Twitter.
Were ya?
Yep. Just talking about people wrecking people.
Huh.
It was fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Chance Collins to my right. Brandon Johns in front. Chance, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Just going through Jeremy Pruitt's press conference from earlier that they decided to hold at 12:40. That really worked out.
Yep. It was a press conference today, announcing the coaches finally. Kind of been putting that off for a little bit. I guess formally announcing he'd come out and announce all his coaches. And
yep.
Started off with my coaches, these coaches here, combined 16
yep.
national titles.
I think the biggest transition, look, we kind of all figured T was going to go to wide receiver. Kind of been telling y'all that. And then David Johnson will move to running backs. Chris Winkie, quarterbacks. Will Friend stays on the offensive line. Jim Chaney is the offensive coordinator. Let me just go over them real quick for you while we go through this. I'll get you on the defensive side. You have got, Derek Inslee, DC. We're going to talk about that here. Kevin Scheer, inside linebackers and special teams. Tracy Rocker, D-line. Chris Rump, outside linebackers, co-DC. So the biggest... I think the biggest takeaway that we can from today's press conference with Jeremy Brandon is Jeremy Pruitt will no longer call plays for the defense. It is now on Derek Inslee. He will be calling the plays. Immediate thoughts, Brandon?
Nah, who cares?
Okay, that was good. Chance.
Why? I was going to ask you, though, how does he qualify 30th and get to start 13th?
Yeah, that's a little confusing, isn't it? He qualified 30th on Sunday. He got to run like one lap. Bubba's good when it comes down to multiple laps. Well, what happens is they qualify, then they run these duels on Thursday night. And the duels are, it gives you an opportunity to move up from your qualifying spot because you're running 60 laps.
Yeah.
Two races, 60 laps each. If you do good enough, you'll move up. So he got to move up. It's something stupid they do at Daytona.
I would be pissed if I was the guy that qualified, say, 13th.
Well, his ass better run good.
Something happened in the duels, and I'm starting 40th.
If the poll, we're getting off NASCAR here for a second, but the poll winner, Will and Byron, would have wrecked last night. He'd have gone from on the pole for Sunday to probably back of the field. So,
and see, that's ridiculous.
Well, no, I get, well, whatever. I know it is. It's just Daytona. It didn't happen anywhere else in none of the races. Just Daytona. So it'll be interesting. Chance, your thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt handing
NASCAR,
over?
Okay.
On Jeremy Pruitt handing over play calling duties to Derek Inslee.
Makes sense. I kind of like it. I think that it shows you kind of what everybody's talking about, getting people in here that he can trust, people that he's comfortable with. Shows you the comfortability that he has with Ainsley.
He said he was ready.
Yeah. So I think that's perfect. So he's going to be in charge of play calling.
Yeah, Ainsley.
But he's not the DC.
Yeah, he's the DC.
Oh, he is the DC. Okay.
He's
head DC.
He
now.
Is the head DC.
Now.
Jeremy said, look, I will technically be the fifth assistant roaming around on defense.
What do you think the other guys think about that?
I think it's smart. I don't think anybody else is going to be the DC. I mean, let's be honest. Jeremy was running that defense last year. He's given it over to Derek, and he said Derek's been ready for this type of spot. And we're gonna find out. I mean, let's face it. Two or three games in, he ain't running what he wants to be running, and he's getting a little trigger happy with the play calls. You know, all Jeremy's got to do is switch that little button on his little side packet. Like, that's me calling plays now. Sorry.
Yeah.
Cut your mic off. You're done. So that, look, is what it is. I would love the opinion of everybody else out there. 865-546-8200. I want to get your feel on the three different coaching swaps that have now happened, where you're at mentally with this when it comes to Jeremy no longer calling the plays anymore. And, let's be real honest here, too. I know Jeremy's saying that, but Jeremy's going to have a very big do when it comes to what they're going to run every single week. T. Martin will also be the passing game coordinator and assistant head coach. That's a nice little title.
I like it.
Yeah, nice little title.
He's done that before.
He has. So
plenty of times.
Thought that was smart.
Passing game coordinator.
David Johnson moving to running backs from wide receiver. He's coached running backs before, so that's fine. And then you've got, I think Brian Niedermeyer might be the highest paid tight ends coach in college football. And I'm not even talking about because he can coach tight ends. I'm talking about because of his recruiting prowess.
No, that's why he's being paid what he is. And it likely going to continue getting those raises. It's like a hired gun out there. He gets the job done. And he's one of the best recruiters, if not the best recruiter on the staff right now.
Yeah, let's be honest. The reason he's getting paid is being a recruiter. It's not like Dominic Wood Anderson excelled even to the level that we thought he would when he came in. So, great hired gun for recruiting. I don't know. Are our tight ends good?
No.
They're not.
No. I think what Tennessee has coming back at tight end could work next year. I think Dominic Wood Anderson will be the go-to player next year at that position.
He was really underwhelming last year.
Well, that's because he was also dealing with a quad strain about midway through the year. Kind of hit his production. To say the least. But I agree with you. Look, we always have to watch these JUCO guys. You know, are they going to come in? Are they going to perform? Are they just going to come in and think they're going to run the house because they've already been technically in college for 2 years? It's always something to keep an eye out on. Tennessee has had a lot of JUCO bust over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. I'll be interested to see how this goes. Because also, we have to also realize this. They also have potentially Aubrey Solomon and D'Angelo Gibbs, the transfers, probably going to get them eligible.
Yeah.
Seems like it. I mean, what did he say yesterday? Justin Fields got his transfer waiver. He said racism had nothing to do with him getting eligibility early. Okay, well, if that's the case, then D'Angelo Gibbs should probably be granted immediate eligibility at Tennessee, and so should Aubrey Solomon. If that's the case they didn't make.
What was the case they made?
I don't know. There's an article up. I wasn't going to click on it because it was clickbait. It's one of them aggregated sites. Really didn't feel like clicking on it. But that's how it played out.
What was the headline?
Give me more.
Yeah, he did not use racism as a way to get his eligibility.
That was what a lot of people speculated because of the picture that it said.
Who was kicked out of school, by the way?
Yeah, he was.
Which I'm not downplaying. I'm just saying he was kicked out of school. Stool. As well.
Had the stool ripped right from underneath his school.
I don't. You know what, guys? Hey.
Ow, wow, brown cow.
We don't.
Ha.
I swear to God. I don't need this today.
Ha.
Okay. I don't need y'all's picking
show.
On.
Good
you
show.
Had a day of R&R yesterday.
A day of R&R?
Yeah.
I drove 546 miles. How the hell is that R&R? And I had two meetings. Hey, how's that R&R?
You weren't here.
R&R. What the hell's that got to do with it?
R&R.
Rest and relaxation. Was I sleeping while I was driving?
I don't. You're talking to the wrong guy if you want to say driving's terrible. I drove 2,000 miles in 36 hours.
Well, that sounds
back forth, back forth.
Yeah. You were going out there for a girl. I was going out there for a meeting. So
some money.
There's a big old difference. Okay, I'm not. You know what? I'm not getting involved with you today. What did y'all do? We're gonna get into all this. We'll take your calls too before we go to break. How was Valentine's Day for you guys?
It's good. We helped out a lot of people on the show. Even got some updates from some people we helped out yesterday. The $20 guy. He had a successful dinner. We helped a lot of people, man. It was Dr. Love and King Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Just solving the world's problems.
Solving the world's problems.
One phone call at a time.
We're gonna keep breaking down the stuff, but I'm interested. Okay, so last night, Brandon, did you work at the restaurant?
I did.
Was it crowded?
Yeah, not as much as you'd think it would be. Because, I mean,
it's just two people.
Right. So and like, a lot of people, when Valentine's Day is Thursday, a lot of people will either go the day before to try to beat the Valentine's Day rush, or a lot of people celebrate the weekend.
Yeah, most people will be celebrating tonight and tomorrow night, too, because a lot of people had to work.
So it's pretty spread out.
No, not last night.
Okay, so it's okay. All right, I get the whole spread out thing. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? When I worked for Ruth Chris like 8 years ago, it was absolutely miserable on Valentine's Day.
No doubt.
It was not the fact that I got hit in the head with a tray and knocked unconscious, but the also.
Hold on. What? How did you get hit hard enough with the tray to get knocked unconscious?
You ever been to Ruth Chris? You know how big their plates are and how heavy they are?
Yeah.
Well, there was a full tray of them, and this guy.
Dropped him.
I was behind him, and he just turned around and swam.
What?
Hit me in the whole damn tray.
Fell on my head. You have to break it down, the entire story. Start from the top. Please.
Okay.
This is interesting. So, I've worked in a lot of restaurants. Never seen anybody get hit with a tray and get knocked out.
Never seen it.
Okay. Never, ever.
Here,
so,
wait, let me set the mood.
Dang it. Okay, so I was walking out of the back of the house, going to the front of the house. The guy had this big tray. It was loaded up with, like, porterhouses, the hot plates, all that stuff. So I was behind him. He swung around to like put his tray down, and he literally hit me right in the front of the head, and then the tray fell on top of the head.
Wow.
So I got knocked fuzzy.
You got knocked fuzzy by a food tray.
Yeah, it was bad. It wasn't just a food tray. It was a Ruth Chris heavy plated tray.
No. I understand. When I've worked a lot of places with heavy plates, you know,
and they're hot.
Big lasagna dishes on those trays. Like, and you fit like two on them. That's it.
Damn, 180 degree plate.
Yeah, they're always.
On my head. It was miserable.
Is that the last time you served?
That was the last time I walked in that stupid ass restaurant. Whatever. No, I wasn't going back in there.
Funny.
I wasn't going back in there. Mm. You could, but I was so sick and tired of that place. I'd rather dip snuff than walk back in that place again.
It's really not that bad, though, dipping snuff.
I did it once, and I puked in a bowling alley.
Yeah, gotta get a little spoon.
No, it was one of them pouches. I did it like 10 years ago.
A pouch?
I was in the bathroom not even puking.
I thought you were talking about snuff, like basically
the school,
coffee grinds, cardboard can.
Old school snuff.
No, it wasn't anything like that. Whatever. How did we get? What? Okay.
You brought it up. I
just thought the restaurant thing. Okay, Brandon, other side. Did you Netflix and Valentine last night?
I'm confused by your phrasing.
Did you text the white whale last night?
Oh no.
Okay, we'll move past that. That's good. All right, I'm sure Chance cooked a great meal for his lady. I bet. I'd like to hear about this on the other side.
Okay.
And if you cooked it in like water and boiled it.
Any water and boiled it.
Yeah. Some stupid stuff.
Sous-vide?
Yeah, not crap.
It's called a sous-vide tray.
Shout out to my cousin Kalen for horrible cooking. On the other side, we'll talk more about these Tennessee coaches. Tennessee, Kentucky this weekend. College basketball all the way around. Transfers, AAF, everything. It's optional. We own Fox Sports Knoxville. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. Saturday. Looking forward to this. Tomorrow, Tennessee travels to Lexington, Kentucky. One versus, I don't know what they can rank Kentucky right now. They probably stay the same if they beat Tennessee tomorrow night.
Well, right now they're still five. So
yeah, no.
Still one versus five.
I always hate that. Give me like a Thursday poll if a team gets beat midweek. Hey, shout out real quick to Austin Peay in Murray State last night. Put on a hell of a performance in Clarksville.
That's right.
Fun game. That game was on ESPN2. That was neat.
Nah.
I saw a bunch of tweets about it.
Austin Peay's had some great teams over the years as far as basketball goes. They've, you know, won the OVC numerous times. But, yeah, playing Murray, John Morant.
Yep.
It was a good game.
John Paxson was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool little arena. Well, they have there as well.
Oh yeah,
might have been there a couple times. Pretty neat.
It's nice. I actually I transferred from Austin Peay when I transferred to UT years ago. But yeah,
did you?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I went to Austin Peay first. Yeah, nice little gym, Dave Luce Court.
Yep. So that was neat last night. Just getting to see two state of Tennessee teams get to play on national television. Always neat.
Murray.
Shout out to
Murray's
Belmont.
In Kentucky.
Yeah, Murray's in Kentucky.
I'm sorry. I meant a state of Tennessee team getting to play. Okay. I know this, that Murray State is playing the OVC. I know this. Okay.
Kentucky.
Dang it. No, I just lost your. Oh, shout out to Belmont, 20th win. Congratulations to them. Rick Bird continues to ball out. That is a pretty awesome program. Lipscomb University as well, 20 wins on the season. They are rolling too. So, state of Tennessee does have some good basketball besides Murray State, who was in the OVC. So that is always fun. If you're going to the SEC tournament in Nashville, I would say also, if you're in Nashville listening right now, go check out the OVC tournament that's usually held at Municipal Auditorium.
Yep.
That is a fun tournament, dude.
Always great.
So much fun. Those teams
really
are crazy. The fan base come in.
Yeah. It's not even fluffing it up. It's always a great tournament.
Yeah, no, it is, man. You get the Belmonts. You get the Murray States in there. You get APS. I'm telling you, it's so much fun. So there's just a quick out of the SEC type tournament that you can check out. I want to talk about this for a second. The craziest gym I think I've been in when it comes to basketball, has to be MTSU. That damn thing is built into the ground, and then there's bleachers around a track on top of it. Like, it's just an awkward gym. And it is hot as living hell in there as well. Been there for a couple basketball games. Actually, like 10 basketball games, especially when the University of South Alabama was playing there in the Sun Belt Conference back in the day. And then Tennessee played there one time against MTSU. So a couple of good games, but that's just an awkward gym. I just thought I would throw that out there. I don't know why, but I did. I was thinking about MTSU for a second. Big time basketball tomorrow, guys. We're going to get back into this coaching thing and take your calls as well. 865-546-8200. Any questions you might have or any comments, I really don't care. Bring them. Tomorrow night, how excited are you guys for this matchup? We'll start off with Chance.
Well, I mean, I'm still pretty excited for it, you know.
You're nervous?
A little bit, yeah, because it's Kentucky and it's Rupp. Slightly less nervous than I was the start of the week after they, you know, let LSU hang with them and then eventually got beat. I thought they were just going to beat LSU maybe about 10 or 12 points.
Yeah.
I really thought Kentucky was – they had that one in the bag, even though LSU's a good team. I know, like, we don't want to take nothing away from him, but that's what I was thinking. And, I mean, looking now – I still think it's going to be a tough game. The fans are – it's tough to play there.
Hostile.
Corrupt Arena, I mean, is the nickname. It's going to be tough to be in there. Sometimes it seems like the refs are against you. Just an intimidating atmosphere sometimes. But the guys, I mean, it's a really good team, really experienced. So I think that they win. But, yeah, I'm slightly nervous.
If Pat Adams is on that call,
every game matters.
I'm going to trip.
Pat Adams.
Yeah, so we'll see. Brandon, your thoughts tomorrow night, just as we sit here right now.
Tennessee should win 8 to 10 points. Just go in there and take care of business. I mean, it's Kentucky, but they don't have any stars like Kentucky typically has. There's no John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. Anyone?
There's not like five guys latest, you can name on a list like right.
There's
now.
Not one. Like,
well, PJ Washington.
The ESPN like latest mock draft doesn't have but like one guy in the lottery, and he's put at 12th. So yeah, they don't have the talent. We should roll.
Yeah, no, I was going to go to that game. I was going to go cover it. But then I got an email yesterday saying pretty much that they kind of like over-credentialed to the game. And they said, hey, look, we're going to put you in a media workroom with like 20 others, and you can watch the game on television. And I was like, I'm not driving and wasting money like that to cover a game that I'm going to get to watch on television. So, no, shout out to you. Not going to Lexington tomorrow night. But that's okay, because we'll have full coverage, voluntary reaction tomorrow night. If you're in the area and you want to have a good time tomorrow night with a bunch of Tennessee fans that are getting rowdy, and you guys are hanging out and doing your thing, go to Hops and Hollers tomorrow night. Go hang out with the crew. Going to be a lot of guys there, and women. Not talking about that.
I'll be there.
Chance Collins is going to be there.
I'll be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chance Collins.
That's right. Be there. Hops and Holler watch party tomorrow. Watching that game. At least going to stay first half, a little bit of second.
Well, I'm glad a part of its optional is going to be there.
Yes.
That's good. I can't make it.
I'll be there.
But I'm glad that a part of
come
it
out.
Will.
Hang with me. That's right.
I wish I could.
Buy me a beer or something. I'm talking to everybody else.
Well, no, but I'll Venmo you.
Come
a beer.
Out, buy Chance a damn beer.
Where are you
going to
be at? You got the weekend off.
I don't actually. I'm going to Parts Unknown.
Parts Unknown. I
Bubba's
like
racing.
Oh,
so
Bubba's racing.
Thanks for the invite.
You ain't invited. You ain't a race fan. Every time I bring a race,
I brought it up. Excuse me. I indulged your conversation about Bubba's qualifying position at the beginning of the show.
I want to take Chance to a race that's not Talladega.
It's not Brandon. Talladega.
We should take him to Bristol. A race that's not Talladega.
I don't know. Daytona is not Talladega.
Yeah, I've still been. Thoughts? I would love to go to Daytona one day, but Bristol.
You want to go to Bristol?
Still need to see a Bristol race. Well, I just know that.
Man, we'll go to Bristol in the spring.
Everybody loves Bristol.
We'll go to Bristol in the spring. We'll hang out in the pits and do all that fun stuff and do some day drinking.
We'll do it.
Do some crawfish.
Yeah.
Get the crawfish brought up.
Of course.
No, we definitely get the crawfish brought up. Talladega, Talladega's so damn big. You experience Talladega once, you're like, all right, I've seen it enough. It's kind of like Bourbon Street.
That's kind of how I feel about it. I've been three times, and it's kind of like
same here.
I'm not yearning to go back to Talladega. That doesn't mean that it wasn't fun.
No,
I didn't have a lot of fun. It's just like it's kind of like I had my experience.
Kentucky Speedway is fun. It's right there next to a casino as well, which makes it a lot better. So I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. And take the It's Optional crew to a NASCAR race in the next couple months. I want you guys to experience it outside of, like Talladega and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to this. I'm intrigued now. Tomorrow night, though, I personally think, and I've said this the last couple weeks, and I stick to this. Tennessee basketball is so good right now and so much fun to watch, and a lot of fans are traveling to away games to watch them and purchasing tickets, spending a lot of money to watch this crew. Just like I think there's going to be a lot of Tennessee fans at Ole Miss, the West Tennessee fans, people that are listening here from West Tennessee, I think there will be a lot of people in Oxford. I think there will be a lot of fans at Auburn Arena to end the season. Baton Rouge probably have a good, couple good amount. But I think tomorrow night, I've been watching ticket sales all week, and there were a lot of tickets on StubHub and all these different outlets to buy. There were.
That's surprising.
I would probably say, right around 700 to 800 tickets.
Huh.
I think there's going to be a lot of Tennessee fans there tomorrow night. Now, look, Kentucky fans, they're pretty good at not selling their tickets, and if they are, they're going to sell like the uppers. But I still think you're going to see a good amount of them, just like there was at the Memphis game. When that one was sold out, I think you'll see a good amount tomorrow night in Lexington. Fans travel, man, when your team is good.
When your team's good and you're top of the nation.
Right. I mean,
Mecca of basketball.
Hell, I'm sorry.
Right,
Tennessee was traveling good in football, and they were not good down at Auburn. I mean, there were probably 7,000 Tennessee fans at the Auburn game, and they weren't good at the time. They were coming off a beatdown of Florida.
Still not good.
No, I know that. I was just saying there was a lot of Tennessee fans at the Auburn football game this year. I was very surprised. So I think they will travel. So that'll be an interesting part of it, too. We're going to talk to TJ Moe about some college basketball today in 2 o'clock hour.
Loving it.
And Barry Odom's comments and where he stands going into the weekend.
Oh, Barry O.
He's running that Trapper. He was running it. I know Jeremy and Barry were together Wednesday at a luncheon in Birmingham. Just an SEC head coach's luncheon.
I wonder if some words got said.
I bet they said nothing. I bet they stared at each other. And if they did, it was probably like that scene out of Step Brothers. They walk up, and you have to call me like Nighthawk, and you have to call me Red Dragon or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
One of those. I bet it was like that. Like, you like cornbread.
Who's winning that fight?
Barry Odom.
0% chance.
Barry Odom.
0% chance.
You don't think Barry Odom would Darren Brewer's ass?
No.
Really?
Barry Odom's a big dude.
He's a pretty big dude.
He's a jacked
and he looks
dude.
Like swollen crazy, too.
Jeremy Pruitt.
Right.
Jeremy Pruitt's redneck strong. He's going to whip
I
up
know
on
he's
him.
Redneck strong, but Jeremy Pruitt also is.
He looks soft around, around get, the
We got to compare heights and weights.
How
of
do
these
I
guys?
Not get in trouble for saying this? Jeremy say, Pruitt, age is getting to Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
In the sense of.
And not to just. No, to. Knocked down on our football coach, Look, but Barry Odom I think Barry Odom whoop his ass. I'm just being honest. I'll say it. I think so.
That's he just, looks like he could be the strength coach of Missouri.
Yeah, that's just kind of how, like, hey, that's just my opinion. I think Barry Odom,
but
I don't want to run up on him in the middle of an alley in the middle of the night.
In a mine, reading contest, an intimidating factor,
yeah,
Jeremy would have him. He'd just stare at him.
I think Jeremy would win the stare down.
We got Bear.
But I think
we have who?
Bear.
From the drive.
Uh-oh.
You wanted to weigh in on Jeremy Pruitt versus
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry I present Odom. You from the drive that airs from 3 to 6 every single day, the host of The Drive, Bear.
What's going on, Bear?
Jeremy Pruitt would walk a mud hole in Barry Odom's ass.
Thank you.
Or stomp it and walk it dry.
You think so? Barry Odom looks kind of crazy, Bear.
Have you seen Pruitt?
He'd win
He'd
win a stare down contest. I think he looks.
I ain't talking about no stare down chance. He's from like Op, Alabama, or one of those places down there. Those people are crazy down there.
They are actually.
Not gonna lie, he's got country boy strength, but I don't know. I think Barry Odom's a little crazy too.
I got a feeling Jeremy, if he had to, would bite a piece of Barry Odom off.
That's true. I think Barry Odom has like HGH strength, and I think Jeremy Pruitt's got a redneck strength.
I put it this way. I don't think Barry Odom would hit Jeremy Pruitt in the not allowed part of the body to win the fight, but I know Jeremy Pruitt would. Jeremy Pruitt would go all the way.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, if you're stepping in, exactly right for young Brandon. You better be ready to go all the way, buddy.
Bear, since I have you, and you are the other NASCAR correspondent, I would like your thoughts on last night's dual race. Chance is dying to hear them.
Until Logano pulled that move at the end of the second duel, it's the follow the leader stuff, man. It's killing them. It's killing ratings.
I know.
It's just not very entertaining to watch.
It,
the funnest part for me was watching your maniac cousin decide to take it three wide and then, in the turn four at Daytona, which usually ends with somebody in the wall and. If you go back and look, you can see his hands, and they're moving rapidly.
Oh, they were? No, when he was coming into the home stretch, you could tell when he was sitting there three wide. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to work.
I mean, three wide through the dog leg doesn't usually work at those tracks. But, give Bubba credit. He somehow pulled it off.
He pulled it off, so that's fantastic. Thanks for the update, Bear. Hope you have a great afternoon, buddy.
You too.
Thank you, buddy. That was Bear, our other NASCAR correspondent for Fox Sports in Knoxville. Glad to have him on
NASCAR,
and join us.
Huh?
Yeah.
NASCAR, huh?
Look, y'all going to
You pretty good on your toes then?
Look, y'all going to have to
I want a detailed NASCAR segment when you come back. You only gave me a little bit. I've even got music for you. I have segment music for you. You want to do it? Can you do a NASCAR segment when we come back?
I mean, I don't know if y'all want me to roll.
I want to hear it. I do. Now you've got me intrigued. Big race is coming up, right? Daytona that's the start of the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
I want to hear it now. Now you guys got me intrigued. Got me all fired up. Vroom, vroom, and tires.
Okay. You're going to get a NASCAR segment coming up. Actually, it's going to be about 5 minutes. We'll detail the Daytona 500 that's coming up on Sunday.
People actually probably love this.
Okay. Let's roll. It's optional. Yep, yep. Little AC/DC to bring us back in here. Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along today. talking to you as well, 865-546-8200. We're talking Tennessee, Kentucky. We're talking Tennessee coaching staff. We're talking SEC football, SEC hoops. I really don't care. But now, Chance wanted a NASCAR segment, so I thought
I need to go ahead and put a disclaimer out here. See, I made this beautiful NASCAR segment at one time for somebody else at the station. They never want to do it, so now it's yours.
This is the NASCAR scene with Trey Wallace on It's Optional. All right, so coming up this week.
Let him talk.
Oh.
Days of Thunder.
Oh, my God.
Rock with it, Trey.
This is fantastic. NASCAR update this weekend. The Daytona 500 will start at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Fox on Saturday. The NASCAR duels were last night. Went ahead with the qualifying that was last Sunday. Interesting night as Joey Logano took the second race last night. Joey Logano took the second race. Kevin Harvick won the first race. Joey Logano made a move on the last lap coming out of turn four. Got the pass right on the inside. Went from fourth to first to take the win last night in the duel. Your starting lineups for Sunday's Daytona 500. William Byron starts on the pole. Alex Bowman right on the outside. Kevin Harvick will start three. Joey Logano starts four. At five, Ricky Stenhouse. Clint Bowyer starts on the opposite side. Paul Menard and the lazy Eric Almirallo. At number nine, Matt DiBenedetto. He's no good. We'll be up next, Denny Hamlin.
Finish strong.
At 11, Mark Truex, Kurt Busch, Bubba Wallace, and Ryan Blaney.
And he did it all in a minute, folks.
Why is DiBenedetto, or whatever his name is, why is he the only one you singled out as no good? Did he, wreck Bubba at some point?
Yeah, no. It's something personal there, right?
He's the only one he's no good?
I don't really care for Matt DiBenedetto.
I feel like
that. Why? That's what I'm saying. Like, what happened?
It's not even because of Bubba. He just wrecks a lot of people. He just has that problem where he just wrecks.
Hey, man, blood's thicker than water. If he wrecked your cousin, you probably shouldn't like him.
Best friends, Bubba Wallace and Ryan Blaney will start 13th to 14th right on the inside outside. That should be good as they get into the first stretch. They will team up probably for the first couple laps. They are they're literally like best friends. So they'll team up and they will get them to the front, hopefully.
Good job.
So that was your NASCAR segment brought to you by me. We appreciate everybody tuning in for that. If you have questions about NASCAR, I'm more than happy to call in and answer anything you want to ask. Let's go to the phone lines now. Our other NASCAR specialist, Roger, joins us. Roger, good afternoon to you.
Hey guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, Rog? How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm doing fine. How you doing, Chance?
I'm doing great, man. Good to hear from you.
Me too. What's that guy's name, Chance? How'd you?
Trey. Trey Wallace. Trey Wallace Trey, and doing? Brandon.
Hey, Trey. I mean, hey.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, Trey. How you doing?
I'm good, Rog. How you, buddy?
I'm fine. Are you excited about the game tomorrow night?
I am excited about the game tomorrow night. I always love a good college basketball matchup, no matter who's playing. But we get Kentucky versus Tennessee in a big rivalry game. How excited are you, buddy?
Oh, very excited about it. Can't wait to see how we do tomorrow night. I just want to ask y'all about it, about the keys. I know that Kentucky's good team, both good teams, and Tennessee's number one, the better team. I just want to ask you, how y'all see the game going, and what's the keys? First thing I want to ask you is how y'all see the game going first, and then what do you think the key is going to be for who wins, for both team win, whoever, both sides, how you see the game going, and
I think keys are going to be Tennessee just stay aggressive. They got to stay hungry. They got to continue playing, the way they've been playing. It's going to be like a broken record, but that's what they got to do to keep winning these games. They got to come out fast. You got to get quality contributions from your guys, your big three that you continue to get from, Admiral, Grant, and I say Jordan Bone. You could probably switch out Jordan Bowden or Bone in there, but you're going to have those moments from those guys. You're going to have a little help from the bench, but like Brandon said, I'm not too scared about this team. They don't have the traditional just star-studded lineup that Kentucky has had in years past. So you are the better team, and you should win by a nice margin, but still, you still have to go out and play the game and go and do everything that you're supposed to. That still has to happen.
Yeah. How about you, Trey? How you see the game going? And then what do you how you see the game going?
Roger, I think it's going to come time to. And I appreciate you joining us, my brother.
Have a good day.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, Roger.
I think it's something where Tennessee's going to have to come out, and they're going to have to. I think they're going to have to rely on like a Lamonte Turner from the get go, and Bone maybe pop up from the outside of the arc. Make a couple threes and get some things going with that. In a sense, I think Admiral and Grant are going to be just fine in the post. And then, you know, they're also good at the 15-footers as well. So, I look at this Kentucky team and I say, okay, cool. Yeah, they don't have as many, I don't know what you want to call them, ESPN 300s, you know, as usual. They have a lot, but I'm saying that there's not a bunch of names to stick out on this team like years past. Okay, cool. Well, it's still Kentucky. It's still Calipari, who's never lost two in a row at Rupp. He's only lost 9 games there in total. But it's a Tennessee team to come in that's veteran, that's been there before, that's played in this hostile environment before. This is nothing new to this team. I think that's something that they can rely on. I think when you look at this game, I think that Tennessee has his advantages. I think in a sense, if Pond, here's a big thing, Pond's coming off the bench playing defense. If he can lock down, they're going to put him on somebody tomorrow. And I don't know if they should put him on – do you put him on PJ?
Yeah.
When it comes to – I mean, because I think Pons, his length is good enough and his speed is good enough.
I mean, like, and also he can kind of wear him down, and it's not going to affect him. He's not getting a potential, like, big load on the offensive side of the ball, so he can just concentrate on wearing PJ Washington down the entire game. I think you'll see a lot of guys thrown at him, whether it's Cal, whether it's Admiral, or if it's Eves Pons. Yeah. It'll be a mixture of guys.
David May asks, even though Kentucky is favored, would you consider it an upset if the Wildcats win?
No, because going into Rupp is tough to play, and it has been for Tennessee for years. Like,
yeah, I don't think it's
upset. It's a big win for Kentucky. They top off, knock out the number one team in their conference as well, and you know, the rivalry, but it's not an upset because it's still tough to go up there, and it's Kentucky.
I think it should be a pick 'em. And I think
if you go to Missouri and lose, that's an upset. You go to Arkansas and lose, that's an upset. I don't think Kentucky going to Rupp is an upset.
No. Or Kentucky winning at home is an upset. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel that. I don't feel Kentucky.
No, that's what I'm saying. I was more or less talking about if Kentucky beats you, is it an upset for Kentucky? He's talking about, I guess, the Tennessee side is an upset.
No, I think I maybe worded it wrong to you.
Okay.
He said, even though Kentucky is favored, mm-hmm. would you consider it an upset if the Wildcats win? So he's saying they're favored and they win. Would it actually be an upset?
No, just because they've got a nice home court advantage there.
They do. And I don't see it being that way. I just think it would be a win, a good win that keeps Kentucky in it. You know what I mean? The SEC. I'm telling you, if Tennessee goes up there tomorrow and beats Kentucky, Kentucky would have 3 losses in the SEC. You're done. I don't think you're done. And LSU would hold a tiebreaker over you. That would pretty much end Kentucky's SEC regular season championship hopes right there. And I know they're saying, oh, we don't talk about that. We don't want to deal with that. Well, you still hang banners. So it would be something of note. And then I think personally it would come down to Tennessee and LSU. Tennessee, I don't think, is going to lose 3 conference games. I think, if anything, they could potentially lose, like, maybe 2. I think they have some interesting trips coming up if they get out of there tomorrow night with a win. We're going to talk a lot more about this in the second hour. TJMO, don't forget, joins us at 2:05. We'll come back in and wrap up the first hour here. We got facts and foolishness and news of the day. Also, stick in. Fox Sports, Knoxville. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. We were just talking about it during the break. The NBA like unveiled some kind of new weird jersey today that can change the number and the name. Like, I don't know how the hell it works. I guess it's like there's some kind of computer chip in there or something, like a little itty bitty one or something. I don't know. I have to look more into it. But I said, what the hell's the deal? Why would you need somebody? And Brandon made a great point. Brandon, what did you say? Speak.
was saying, you know, maybe they could sell those to fans. So every time your favorite player gets traded, you can just switch over the number, new name, not have to buy a new one.
Go to the store and get it programmed with a new name. Like all them LeBron people out there would have been, you know, great not to have to burn their Cavs jerseys. They could have just switched the number.
Did you see all those Laker fans, yeah, end quote, leaving Oracle Arena against the Golden State Warriors when it was announced that LeBron wasn't going to play in the game?
Yeah, I did see that.
It's fantastic.
Well, that's because ABC screwed everybody. Wanted to announce it like an hour before when his load management.
I mean, they bought the tickets, and they left before the game even started.
Do you get a refund for something like that?
No, you don't
get a refund. No. That was a stupid question. Well, they do that for UFC and stuff like that. So if somebody can't participate, they did that last week in Australia when whatever his name, Whitaker, couldn't fight. Some lady was sitting
outside. Forrest Whitaker?
No, damn it. Good actor, by the way. Very good actor. He's been in a bunch of good. We already did this. But Whitaker, he wasn't going to be able to fight. He was the main event, so they gave everybody the money back that wanted it.
No.
It's like in wrestling. If some big wrestler doesn't show up or something, they'll say, well, you have until this match to go get a full refund. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. College baseball kicks off today. Tennessee plays Appalachian State over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Yep.
You a baseball fan?
I am.
I'm a college baseball fan.
Just not an overall baseball fan in general?
No, I'm not a Major League Baseball fan.
Okay.
I'd rather be electrocuted and have to sit through nine innings of a Major League Baseball game. Yeah.
College ain't any better on some occasions. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what Vitello can do. It's time.
It's going to be interesting.
It's time for him to – I mean, they got to make a turn now.
Got to do something.
He's got some guys in place, yeah. And everything should be lining up to now to where you're seeing more progress this year.
The new turf on the field looks awesome, I have to say. I was over there a couple days ago, and it looks pretty awesome. Looks just like I thought it would.
Not a big fan of artificial turf on baseball fields, though.
Well, nobody really is, but it saves you a lot of time on maintenance.
That may be. But
they spent like 1.3 on this.
Yeah, well, it looks better with regular grass.
And it wasn't paid for by the university. It was paid for by private donations.
Which is still
great.
Thank
you, Todd Helton.
Artificial turf. The ball bounces differently. I don't like it. Not a fan.
Well, note that when you say you don't want to go to any games this year.
All right.
Okay, then.
Duly noted.
I didn't get him. He doesn't care.
No, he don't care.
I didn't get him.
I mean, Tennessee's won like, what, 20 games combined in the past 3 years?
Did you punish
him? I will. Okay, quick thoughts. Throw a story at you real quick, Chance. I'd love your opinion on this. Dell Demps fired today. GM, Pelicans.
Makes sense. Kind of got a big cluster there. I think it's funny that they fire their GM when they're going into the offseason, maybe trying to push Anthony Davis to another team and get something out of him. But maybe it was also because of maybe the way they handled that situation with the Lakers. I don't know if Dell Demps was more of the petty Pelican in the organization or if it was the Pelicans as a whole who didn't want to bite on what the Lakers were doing. Kind of firing your GM kind of speaks volumes, though, right, going into a big offseason for them.
Yeah, I agree. They handled that AD thing just so bad. And then when he stormed out of the arena the other night with Rich Paul, like they caught him. Those damn locker room cameras catch everything.
Yeah, he left the arena in the middle of the game with Rich Paul last night.
I don't think the Pelicans handled it with the Anthony Davis thing that bad. I think Anthony Davis handled it poorly. Him or Rich Paul, whoever made that public, that he wanted to get traded. I think they were the ones who messed up.
David Stern he said this about Dell Demps back in October, and, you know, obviously he's a former commissioner. Quote, Dell Demps is a lousy general manager, and none of those players are currently with the team anymore.
Damn.
And they may lose Anthony Davis, end quote.
He said that?
Mm-hmm. That was via SI.
Good Lord. Yeah. Look, you can
Dell Demps has been noted that he's a bad GM for you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's a good GM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he handled the Anthony Davis thing as well as he could have, though.
Yeah, but he was also trying to hook the Lakers. In a sense of, you know, I'm going to reel you in, then I'm going to release you.
They offered him all their assets.
They offered him everything.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. The only thing that would have made it better is if the Lakers offered him LeBron, and they took it, and LeBron had to finish his last 4 years out in New Orleans.
they literally offered him the whole damn squad. Here you go, and we'll give you two draft picks.
And why is it the Pelicans' fault that, hey, you've We'll let you
because
offer this.
I don't think the Pelicans were ever going to trade AD.
True. But is that a bad thing? I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, but you're,
they're just making fun of the Lakers. That's funny.
Don't piss off Magic Johnson and one
Why?
Of the highest profiting teams in the NBA.
Why? They're terrible. They're not even going to make the playoffs.
I know they're terrible, but they're still, you know, they're still probably one of the highest grossing
Who
teams.
Who cares? If I'm the other team, I don't care.
You can't dangle AD out there. AD's going to
sure
get pissed
can.
Off
He's
and
on
say,
my
screw
team.
Off.
He's on my team. I can do whatever I want. Okay. They're going to trade him in the offseason anyway.
Maybe.
Not to the Lakers.
I don't know.
That's maybe. I don't know.
If they're not going to let him just ride out his contract and then not get anything back. They're going to trade him. They're just not going to trade him to the Lakers.
We will find out. On the other side, what we're going to do is we're going to come back in with TJ Moe at the 205 spot. Look forward to having him on. We're going to talk some Barry Odom comments, talk some SEC hoops, see what's going on in his life for a Friday little get-together. We'll do that top of the hour. Lots more to discuss today. Facts of Foolishness, news of the day, taking your phone calls on the Jeremy Pruitt staff changes and position coaches. We'll do that. Other side, it's optional. We own Fox Sports Knoxville.